This is CliffCentral.com.
All right, Monday the 13th of August. August, the birds are tweeting, Sia. They're tweeting.
And no, so are some human beings.
Well, no one cares about the latter, but yeah, it's always easier to be in a great mood in the morning when you hear, like, you hear nature giving a crap again. You know, in the past, like, oh, winter. Birds are tweeting. That means they're looking to hook up. That means looking to reproduce. That means the circle of life. Welcome to it. This is the Gareth Cliff Show. My name is Ben Kopinski, in the hot seat for, I think, the last day. I think Gareth's back tomorrow, yeah?
Yes, he is.
Can you corroborate that story?
Mm-hmm.
Is that a word?
Corroborate. It sounds right.
Yeah, sometimes I get words really wrong. I realized the other day while I was having that big discussion about land that I said retribution instead of restitution. Yeah.
You know, Ben, it sounded right in context.
I know, but still, when you try to have a serious conversation and you screw up a key word.
Shh, but because it's a serious conversation, no one will ever point it out.
Yeah, well, you know, no one's perfect. But yeah, Gareth's, he's done with his cruising, and he'll be cruising back to, he's probably landing today.
Okay, I see what you're doing. Cruising back here, but yeah.
I don't know, that was just use of words, seeing as he was on the ship. Yeah, if you go into Gareth's Instagram account, you'll see what an incredible time he's been having. So no doubt he'll be back here tomorrow, beaming, he'll be glowing, he'll be tanned, and he'll have great stories about all the different people he saw and met and all that kind of stuff. And Sia and I will do our best to smile and go with the story. Meanwhile, deep down, we're going, oh, shut up.
No, do you know, I actually feel semi-fine because we had the long weekend as well.
Yeah, but come on, you look at his trip. You're not telling me you're jealous?
I hear you. I'm trying to suppress it,
yeah,
Ben.
And I'm not naturally a jealous person because I believe that you can make things in your own life without sounding too philosophical. That, you mm-hmm. know, your time is always your time, you know. But looking at his trip on that ship with Crystal Cruises, oh my gosh.
Yeah. You just have to follow, like...
So yeah, I started following other people on those hashtags, and before you know it, you're in a wormhole of, oh my gosh, my life is crap.
Oh, jeez.
I know.
Don't do that.
Shouldn't do that. Yeah. I know. It's almost like calling your ex when you're drunk. But yeah, I did. I clicked onto all the different hashtags, and the time those people are having in the Mediterranean, wow. It's something to work towards. So if you feel that your life needs a bit of something else, remember, there's always travel. Travel's amazing.
Who thought? I'm actually looking at all of the posts now.
I did it and it makes you feel worse.
It's like you regret it now. No, but I stayed away from social media this weekend, so now I'm just catching up. It seems very, very cool, so we'll hear all about it when he comes back tomorrow.
Yeah, it was actually a very long weekend for us because we essentially said goodbye to you on last Wednesday, and then it was the Women's Day on Thursday, and then Friday it was we just sort of carried on.
I wonder how many people actually pitched up to work on Friday.
Okay, I actually had a meeting. I was meant to have two meetings, but then do some stuff in the morning. Mm. But yeah, people were, it was very half-assed. Eh? There was like a little bit of traffic, but it wasn't traffic enough. And yeah.
Yeah, I don't even think I left the house on Friday.
Well,
and
this is an important question, so let's get right into it. Have the other people left the house?
Yes.
Yes, there we go. Yep, you can thank my Dr. Phil moment some other time.
It's not even that. You know, I just thought, Sia, this is one of the moments. Be adult about it. Finally put your big boy pants on and deal with the life that you have right now. And we had a conversation around, love you guys, you're the best, but this right now is not working. Mm. And... you know, sometimes being adult is all that is needed, says the 23-year-old.
I mean, obviously they took it well, or took it okay, because they had no right to do anything else but go, okay, cool, yeah, we appreciate that.
Yeah.
Did they?
Yeah, well, they had...
If they didn't, then they're not your friends.
No, sometimes, this is what I'm realizing, not to sound all deep and philosophical, sometimes when we are hesitant or fearful to deal with something, we build up our own story in our heads. Like, oh my gosh, they're going to be angry at me, and then they're going to think this, and then they're not going to react well. Well, geez, just deal with it and see how they actually react. No, we had a decent conversation, that was it. But they were just chilling, as they were saying.
Okay.
So I guess that's sort of a compliment to me as a host, but at the same time,
yeah,
it's
that's
like,
good. Learning moment. And that's it. Yeah, so we've been off for like, it's been long.
4 whole days.
Yeah. So if you've been having a, you had a great long weekend, if you just took the Friday off, let us know. 079 428 482.
I've got this. Okay, never.
079 748 2090. You're about to get the wrong number. If you want to get in touch with us on our text lines here on the screen, then 079 748 2090. If you are listening to us outside of South Africa, then do your international thing. And remember, this is obviously a podcast and a live show. So if you listen to this by a podcast, chance of us going to get your messages not so good. Listening live, chances are increasingly better. Yeah. So that was a long weekend. So did you get up to anything interesting, seeing as you had your freedom back?
Yeah, well, my favorite pastime, quite honestly, and I think I say this way too often on the show, is what? Being at home. Pajamas. In a gown, yeah. Closing the doors and calling it a day. But actually, before I hibernated, it was on Wednesday last week, actually, that I headed off to Wits University.
Yeah.
Because that's where Jack Ma was. And Jack Ma, the international businessman, he was in the country last week because he was launching what he called the Netpreneur Prize. This is, I think it's his amalgamation of entrepreneur and the internet. I didn't exactly get to the bottom of that.
Well, when you're as rich as him, you can amalgamate anything, really.
Yeah, you can make up your own
make
words.
Make up your own language.
And call it a day. But
call it a Marism.
Jack Ma, for those of you who don't know, is the founder of Alibaba. And
Alibaba, if you don't know, it's like the biggest online e-commerce shopping everything.
Well, it's one of the top 10 most valuable companies in the world.
Yeah.
It has a market value of like more than 540 billion US dollars.
You could probably,
so,
yeah.
Yeah, he's...
That sounds about right.
Jack Ma himself is worth about like 46.6 billion US dollars. When you see, it was quite an experience, because as much as we were there to salute and celebrate what he's actually doing, when you are in the presence of a billionaire, I think this is the first billionaire that I've met, one of, it's not every day you bump into a billionaire, mm-hmm. But I just, as much as we were in the room with him and people were asking great questions, I just sat there with a mouthful of teeth going, the questions I want to know are ones that I'll get shunned for here. But I just want to see, like, Jack Ma, what do you do when you wake up in the morning? And, you know.
No, those are good questions, though, because firstly, he's not expecting it. Because he's expecting stupid questions like, how am I going to be the next e-commerce billionaire?
Yes. And you can Google that somewhere. Audrey. Whatever did Audrey do to you?
Yeah, because I've been to these things before. So, yeah, I'm sure you can, again, corroborate my story here. Mm. So, you get people who just feel pressured into asking the same questions.
Yes, and it's like, oh, it's the thing to do or it's the question to ask because we're in this scenario. But I'm like, no, why ask someone things that you can Google or that they've said before in interviews? Yeah. You're having a special moment when you have this.
That's actually a good point, because before you go to a big interview, you can find so much about people. And there's certain questions that they go to, and they're so well rehearsed, you're not going to get anything else out of them.
Yeah.
So, yeah, you're right.
And for them, it's the same old as well. But I was so surprised to see how he came in with probably two people as part of his team. Of course, there was already security there. My goodness, what an extensive security check beforehand. I think I knew about this probably 2 weeks before it happened.
Like Obama-esque?
Actually, Obama was way more chilled because that was at a stadium. And I think then, you know, there's just tons of people and you don't get as close to Obama as people did to Jack Ma. So 2 weeks before the event, I was already getting emails around. They want a photo of me. They want my ID number. They want like where I work and what I exactly do. It's a whole massive background check, but it's understandable at this point. But he came in with probably two people on his team. Mm-hmm. Was very gracious and was greeting a bunch of people as we all sat down. I was expecting him to, you know, be right on stage or the first row right in front. He actually sat probably five rows behind, because the entire reason for the launch was he's given $10 million to young African entrepreneurs, and this is going to happen over a period of years. So it's not going to be a lump sum. And because he's not exactly looking for the next Richard Branson, but he's saying, okay, Ben, in your community, what are you exactly doing? And Ben says, cool, I'm now into drones because I want to take more drone footage, and that's going to extend to me working around finding traffic solutions in Sandton, for example, right? So it's not a mass thing. It's a very, in my community, this is the change that I'm making.
Very focused.
Yeah. So he's looking for people like that because he thinks, you know, focusing on smaller people, and he gives them tiny amounts of money year by year for them to grow. I think,
well, it's also, if you give someone all the money, they might do all of nothing
and then
run with it. But like installments, you're giving them, this is financial empowerment, really.
Yeah. Imagine. I think it's a refreshing take on helping entrepreneurs. So,
sure, it's super smart.
Yeah, so he let them get the spotlight. The group of entrepreneurs were sitting ahead of him. He just sat with two members of his team and next to Phumzile Mlambo-Ngcuka, who I haven't seen in a while or heard of in the news because she was busy working out in Africa as well. And yeah, it was a very, very cool event. And to hear him speak about just practical things. You know, he's saying, one of the things that he highlighted was saying, I don't have time to spend my money. And at first I was like, what a pompous thing to say, Mr. Billionaire. It's easy for you to add. But then he says, it's quite honest. I've made all this money. I don't have time to spend all this money. So why am I holding on to it? And I think when you look at the big billionaires or the richest people in the world, a lot of them are starting to have that take. And I think it can only have positive repercussions. You know, Buffett is giving away tons of his money. Bill and Melinda Gates are giving away their money. And so Jack Ma's also onto that as well. And he says it just only makes sense to give that money to Africa. You know, it's not a, oh, here we go, it's a hand out to Africa, but we're all together in this thing called life on the world, and so rather help people get a hand up. So
good for you, Jack Ma, because also when you become that rich, you understand value. And this is one of the countless flaws of politicians, is that they've never worked for anything, so they never understand value. So they just believe that they'll be given handouts, so they'll give these like condescending handouts as well of taxpayers' money, but that's different. Whereas, you know, again, this is a prime example of, we can learn so much from mavericks like this because they understand how the world works. You know, like you should actually, if you have time today, go through the story of Jack Ma. I mean, there's plenty of information out there on the internet. But like,
yeah, those are the questions we didn't ask him because it's on the internet.
But this dude, he had an idea, this Alibaba, it was his idea. And people were saying, look, it's not going to work. It's not going to work. Just like the KFC story all over again. Although I don't like the Colonel Sanders story.
Oh, okay.
It's just been done too many times, you know, but this is a great news story. We've got to move with the times. And then eventually, from my understanding, he got together with a whole bunch of friends and said, look, guys, this really is going to work. All I need is this much money. Can you all come together and give a brother a leg up? Probably not his exact words, but he did. And people who had so much faith in him, because he was such a solid guy and because he was so persistent and because he had so much belief in himself, he was able to get these loans. But again, it was all from people who had trust in him because he was that guy himself. He would trust everybody. He was a great friend. He was an honorable businessman. And he just believed, look, it's a matter of time, which is one of the first things all entrepreneurs and successful people will tell you. It's a time game.
Yeah,
you're not going to make any overnight success. You're going to make your failures, and you're ultimately going to do this after a long haul of trial and tribulations. And look, that's where he is.
Yeah, and even before he got started in business, I just think the perseverance that this guy has is so admirable. I don't want to harp on too long about this, but he failed so many times in school, just in terms of his primary exams. When he was trying to go into college, he had to do this test. He scored 1 out of 120 points for this college entrance exam, and he still carried on and did it again and again and again. He was rejected 10 times from Harvard, and he was turned down for 30 different jobs once he was out there and trying to get into the working world. And look at him now, 46.6 billion US dollars. It's quite something to take in. 46.6 billion US dollars. That's how much he's worth today.
Yeah, good on him. Nice guy. Well done. Good stories. Yeah, it's a good start to this. It's a good start to the show. Mm. Lola, how are you doing? How was your long break?
Oh, you really want to know?
Okay. So last night I had a very late night. I'm sorry, but if we had to really add up all the time that Nola looks at me in disbelief that I have the audacity to ever talk to her, we could fill half an hour by itself.
I just feel like she's still even dealing with what the weekend was. She's just looking so traumatized. A ski scale.
So I had a very late night. I went to bed at about 20 past 1 this morning.
Shucks.
Because it was the final major of the year. So this weekend was a nice sort of catch up of certain things. I watched Concussion with Will Smith. Oh my gosh,
yes.
This movie is depressing, but it's brilliant, and it's sad, and it's a lot of emotion in this movie.
Now, this is a movie, vaguely, he's a doctor.
Based on the true story of this Nigerian doctor who moved to America, and he was a pathologist, so he would basically do... it's always the best movie review, you have no idea what was going on. But he was, autopsies.
Oh,
that's
okay.
A pathologist, right?
Anything with an
forget this wrong is very, is not very my embarrassing. Forte. He did autopsies, and he was a bit eccentric, and he always had this thing like he wants to know how people lived before he knows how they died. Blah 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 blah. Anyway, we all know
that's a deep line.
Yeah.
Okay.
And obviously, it's all hammed up because it's a movie, and maybe he wasn't like this in real life, and they just thought they'd give him this quirk.
Mm-hmm.
But Will Smith plays this very convincing Nigerian gentleman. And he has a dream, and he has an understanding about what goes into what he does. And it's all about football players because they're all smashing their heads together.
Ooh.
And it is. It's a stupid sport. I mean, I've said it on the sport many, many times. If you just want to make American football like something that people don't die from, just get them to take off the stupid helmets. They'll be tackling very differently as of tomorrow. So, but the thing is, it's like gun control. So you try to tell Americans stop doing things they've been doing for many years, they'll tell you to piss off, basically. So he uncovered that basically all these concussions from these people who are playing football. I'm not giving you a spoiler here. This is pretty much what the trailer tells you. So I'll stop when it gets too intricate, but you got to watch this movie.
Mm-hmm.
And it's actually making these people a bit mad. So it does. I mean, we have these concussions, and we've seen it with rugby players too. They often get very sort of violent in latter age. Also, a lot of these guys, they've got bugger all to do. So they always hop on for yesteryear when there were these big champions. And that's the thing. You're in these small towns. Everyone looks up to you like you're this god. But then you've got like these voices in your head because you're going slightly mad.
Oh, geez.
And you don't know how to deal with it because you've never really been socially adjusted properly because you've just been this hero who plays football. And he uncovers a whole bunch of stuff through some unconventional tests. And obviously there's a backlash because... just like when people started uncovering that smoking is actually bad for you, that's inconvenient because look how much money is made from smoking.
Yeah.
You know, it's the same with all these different things that NFL is a business. It's not a sporting thing. It's an entertainment business. And it's a huge one as well. So it's like saying, well, movies make you stupid. The whole of Hollywood will try and lobby against that sentiment, even if it's backed by medical practitioners.
They'll find anything to justify it.
So suddenly this Will Smith character in this movie, don't ask me his name because I'll mess that up too. He is suddenly this lone man against this great cause, and it is such a great movie.
Dr. Bennett Omalu?
Yes, that's him, Bennett. Uh-huh. Big up Bennett. Real guy.
So really, really worth it.
Real dude. Real dude, really worth it. It's on Netflix.
Do you know what I actually got to watch this weekend? And I don't really like get all crazy over movies, but this is the first movie I've watched in a long time that I felt like is different and exciting in an amazing, amazing way. It's like a different experience to a movie that I've felt in a long time. It's a movie called A Quiet Place. Have you heard about it?
I have not.
A Quiet Place. It stars John Krasinski from The Office and Emily Blunt, and they're a real-life couple. It's directed and written by John himself, but basically the premise of the movie is it's this post-apocalyptic time.
Ooh, that does sound like A Quiet Place.
This family is now left in the outskirts of New York, and this area is now run by these beasts. that people haven't really understood what they're all about. But the only thing that they've realized, and this is how a bunch of people have been killed off, is because these beasts react to noise.
Ooh.
So now the only way you can survive is by staying silent. So anything that makes some sort of noise will rattle the beast off and then you die. So case in point, even, I said case in point again. Anyway, for example, if you step onto a leaf, if you drop something on the floor, you can't even speak out loud because that will get the beast close to you. It's quite thrilling simply because the idea isn't exactly original because it's so far-fetched, but it's quite cool because you find yourself, I stayed away from my phone, I had some popcorn, I didn't even want to like chew loudly, I didn't even want to move around or talk to anyone because you get so immersed into the movie, you also just like don't make a sound. And I'm not really ruining much because this is all in the trailer, but this couple have three kids and one of them actually dies because he's three or four years old at the time.
Yeah.
And he doesn't exactly understand what's going on around him, but he plays with a toy that makes a sound.
Oh, that little prick.
You see, I'm sorry. It's not funny that little kid dies, but it's just like as soon as that kid lifts up, it was like a toy airplane and the toy airplane starts beeping. You see it almost in slow motion. You're just like, oh shit. Bye, little kid. You're gone. And he gets eaten by these beasts. And then kind of what twists the plot a bit is, once again, I'm not ruining anything. This is also in the trailer. The couple gets pregnant. So now...
Ooh, that's a lot of noise.
You see the impending arrival. You're like, huh? How she's going to give birth?
You can't tell a baby to be quiet.
The baby's not going to understand this. But it is... If you want a different experience of a movie, it's not about the plot that gets you. It's not the great acting, even though it is amazing because they have to learn sign language for this role as well. But it's the fact that you're so sucked into this movie, you just sit there as still as you can watching this. Yeah, it's called A Quiet Place. Watched it this weekend as well, and I really, really enjoyed it.
All right. I watched this other show, Incredible Interiors.
Excuse me?
So addictive. Like, so you see like a house or a building, nothing really going on there. But then these interiors, like these people spend all this money on just the most insane.
What the
living...
50 Shades of Hay is going on with you?
No, well, actually, there's this one thing. It looks like a 50 Shades of something. This guy just collects like scary horror movie props.
Uh-huh.
So there's like Freddy Krueger and there's like all kinds of stuff, and that's three bedrooms of his house, but he's made like this. It's such a fascinating show because you get such an amazing array of people. Some of them are super rich and they love sports, so like this guy created like a clubhouse for his favorite baseball team. This other person created like this French palace within like what looked like it'd be a ghetto. Mm-hmm. This one couple created probably the greatest 70s shag pad, like all unassuming buildings, but they do amazing things. And I always love watching this kind of stuff because everyone's got their certain ideas in life about what's cool, what's their sort of touch of paradise, and like what's touch of taste as well. So that was incredible.
And did you watch it on Netflix?
Yeah.
Okay, it's called Amazing Interiors.
Yeah, Amazing Interiors. And then I also got roped into watching Suits. Oh, that show is dreadful.
Which season?
Is
Meghan Markle still there?
I think we're in season 5 and she's crying a lot. And
oh, okay. Well, that sounds exciting.
Well, it's like that show is all about walking into a room, having a bitch about something, then walking out. That's all that is. Can you imagine the auditions for Suits? Like, right, okay, I need you to walk in here, but don't walk like you normally walk in real life. Walk like you've really got something in your pants. And then like have a fit about something and walk out. And the facial expressions, I mean, you can't even parody this crap anymore. And there's a formula to every single scene.
I haven't watched it, so I can't exactly comment.
Don't.
Yeah.
Anyway, enough jibber jabber for me. What if Netflix and chill was actually like an honest thing?
You wanna bang tonight?
So you type in Netflix and chill, but straight up, you wanna bang tonight. This is the guy's insight.
Oh, hey, can you stay the fuck in your room? I'm pretending like I wasn't frantically cleaning for the past 15 minutes.
I tried on 7 apps before I decided on this one.
Bullshit about wine. I've been wine tasting once.
Mm.
diverting this nervous energy by looking at a screen. Putting the burden of choice on you.
Oh, not accepting that responsibility?
Then in that case, I will offer up 5 or 6 very diverse choices to show my intelligence, sense of humor, the fact that I went to college.
Comment about that really popular series everyone's talking about on the internet?
Yeah, but starting a series together is a lot of commitment. Who cares? We won't be watching the movie anyway.
Oh, yes, I just want to make out a lot.
And do other stuff. All right, getting ready to be nervous for 20 minutes about when to touch you.
And how we decide to sit now will determine a precedent about the rest of our relationship.
Ignoring the fact that my arm's gonna be numb in 10 minutes. Too close to your back. Oh, too close to your vagina. Too close to.
Not actually scared, I just wanted to touch your leg.
Commenting on the movie to start an overlapping dialogue.
I'm answering, but I know what you're actually doing, considering how close our faces are together.
I'm just kind of talking to talk.
Angling my face, hoping you're gonna take a hint.
I'm hiding my boner with my elbow.
Oh. Hoping you're gonna make a move.
I still can't tell if you like me.
Fuck it.
Is that how, like, our dates still go or something?
I mean, you're serious.
Lola, what do you reckon? Is that just a straight up first date, Netflix chill date?
No, look, when it comes to Netflix and chill, I don't think there's anyone who doesn't know what that means by now.
Okay.
But you still get those idiots at the club who come at you with all these fancy, stupid pickup lines, and I'm just like, nigga, stop. You know, if you want to bang, just say so straight up, and, you know, we'll see where it goes.
No, no, I mean, does that really work? Because I have this theory that if you're a good-looking person, if you have some sort of chemistry, you can say anything. So, I mean, if you're an ugly individual, you've just got no game whatsoever. It doesn't matter what you say, because if a good-looking guy came to you and in a very charismatic way said, look, do you want to bang? You'd be like, this guy just had, like, he just knew what to say. Then if some bog troll comes up to you and says, hello, I want to bang, you'd be like, oh, that's just revolting. How dare you? You use the exact same words.
It depends on what you consider, I don't know, ugly and good looking. I'm personally not interested in how a person looks. So, I don't know. Look, if this guy appears out of nowhere and I'm somehow interested in him, I'm going to say, you know, obviously, when I'm not in a relationship.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Good save.
No. It was like a whoops. Oh, right. Yes, that.
Otherwise, yeah. Mondays. It's a Monday as per usual. Rich Mulholland will be coming, dropping by.
Via Skype.
Yeah. Okay. Well, you know, Rich is essentially a virtual friend of ours. He's not ever in studio. He's your virtual friend. He's our virtual friend. Rich is somewhere. That's all we ever need to know. And the fact that he'll dispense information from somewhere is pretty much it. And we've got Anthea with the money shot. Oh, jeez, I'm looking at the show notes here. We'll let Anthony get into that.
Don't let that depress you too much.
But I hope your Monday's getting off to a good start. It is a full week.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. Okay.
You have to get your bearings right.
Establish these things. Yeah, it's a full week. Gareth will be back tomorrow, so the team will be back to normal. But just, yeah, 5 things we need to know from this weird and wonderful world. What is it?
Yeah, let's get into it. So we've just come back from the weekend of Women's Day and a lot of conversation happening around that. So my goodness, it's a bit of a dull one to bring up this story as one of the stories that you need to know this morning. But a well-known comedian and a former radio presenter, geez, can I speak properly this morning, was arrested at his La Mercy home last Sunday after he violated a protection order taken out against him by his ex-wife. So currently this person is still being, excuse me, unnamed. But the ex-wife has alleged that for the past 10 years, she faced continuous intimidation and sometimes abuse at the hands of the former presenter. Now, she said she was left with no option to get a protection order against him in 2008. Now, in recordings heard by the Tribune Herald, the man threatened to send 5 Nigerian men, this is revolting, to rape his ex-wife and said he would watch as this was done. Now, both the comedian and his ex-wife cannot be named currently to protect their minor children, but police spokesperson Colonel Thembe Gambele confirmed the man's arrest. She says that a 42-year-old male was arrested for contravening a protection order. He was charged and he appeared in the Durban's Magistrates Court on Monday. So, I wonder who this can be, and I wonder when they'll be able to reveal this person. This is some revolting stuff.
That's like Mori Mori monster kind of stuff.
I'm not condoning anything. I get when you're angry, you might say some things, but this is a step too far, in my opinion. Anyway, the second story that you need to know this morning, I've stayed away from news and current affairs this entire weekend, and if you're like me, then let's bring you up to speed, rather. A second story that you need to know this morning, the Constitutional Court will hand down judgment today on whether Advocate Sean Abrahams may remain on as prosecution's boss or whether President Cyril Ramaphosa can announce his replacement. Now, the Apex Court...
Yeah, because that was interesting that... might not have been lawful for his appointment, isn't it? One of the big things on the go here.
Everyone's wondering things like that. So the Apex Court was asked earlier this year to confirm the full bench in Pretoria's finding that the NPA's head, Mxolisi Ncwasana's golden handshake, was unlawful and set it aside, as well as Abraham's subsequent appointment to the top job. Now, Freedom Under Law, which is an organization, argued that Sean Abrahams should not be allowed to remain in his position because, well, his appointment was a product of former President Jacob Zuma's, work? Abuse of power?
Yeah.
Plus his unlawful doings?
Plus, Sean was completely shit at what he was doing. Well, Jacob wouldn't say so, of course. He was doing a great job. But yeah, I mean...
They were BFFs till the end.
It's a key role. I mean, he's not serving donuts at the supermarket. He's got a very important role that he's doing badly in.
Mm-hmm. Back then, the court heard how Zuma abused his powers in order to rid himself of one National Director of Public Prosecutions and replace him with another. And by doing so, Zuma essentially violated the constitutional requirements of prosecutorial independence. Now, it was further argued that the former president did all of this for his personal benefit, which was to minimize his own risk of prosecution. Well, you don't say. On the other hand, Abrahams argued that there's no evidence to suggest he is neither fit nor proper to hold the position of National Director of Public Prosecution. So let's wait and see how that unfolds today. Other news?
I just hope, again, like when we hear these stories and we all know what the best outcome is here. This isn't something as you can't put your head in the sand about this, and you also can't think this is ever going to be a balanced debate. This is, again, it's that dreadful employment in order for nefarious things to go on. Simple as that. And that is this guy's legacy. So let's rather make it his legacy than make it his ongoing thing.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Did you hear about the typhoon in China?
Oh, no.
Well, China has had to evacuate more than 200,000 people as a typhoon made landfall on its eastern coast late yesterday. This is what the state media has said. So I'm going to butcher this, but let's go. Yagi, the typhoon is called Yagi, and it hit the Zhejiang province shortly before midnight yesterday, bringing winds of up to 102 kilometers per hour, citing the provincial flood controls headquarters. This is what has been said by the provincial flood headquarters. Now, a total of 204,949 people in 10 different cities have been evacuated, and almost...
When you start evacuating one city in China, that's a lot. 10 different cities?
It's scary. Oh,
that's huge.
Yeah. They've and almost 21,000 fishing boats have been called back to port. The storm will also bring heavy rainfall and will gradually weaken as it moves slowly inland to the northwest. So, yeah, it is currently typhoon season in China, so everyone's keeping an eye out on that one. Sticking to some horrible, horrible natural disasters. Currently, 6 large new wildfires have erupted in the United States, pushing the number of major active blazes nationwide to over 100, with more expected to break out, sparked by lightning strikes on some of the bone-dry terrain. This is what authorities said over the weekend. More than 30,000 personnel, including firefighters from across the United States, and a good and big shout-out to Australia and New Zealand for sending some of their personnel over to the US to battle the blazes that have consumed more than 648,000 hectares. Jesus. Yeah, this is all according to the National Interagency Coordination Center. So also another one to keep your eye out on for the next couple of days. The fires have scorched states from Washington all the way to New Mexico, with California among the hardest hit. And to end off on a bit of a lighter note, and this is specifically just for you, Ben, We might not know if he's just tweeting this to drum up hype or this could be a bit of a confirmation, but Idris Elba tweeted just over the weekend, quite simply, "My name's Elba, Idris Elba." So this has sent everyone wondering and speculating, is this Idris Elba's way of confirming that he'll be the next James Bond? And, you know, what does this exactly mean? When will the next Bond movie come out? Well, we do not know. That's all he's said so far. So let's see. Idris Elba's the next James Bond.
It's the perfect Twitter shitstorm, basically, because you've got a guy who is a huge character, but now you've also got people who want to make this a race issue. They'll make it politically correct. So you've got people who are virtue signaling. You've got people who are being accurate to entertainment as far as plots and scripts and that kind of stuff. As she's saying that, well, you can't have a black person because it's not the character.
Mm.
But you know, they're saying that from a character perspective, and then you get people who are fighting them on a race perspective, and then it's like, and it's just Twitter, and then it's just there we go,
and it's just Twitter,
and it's just a fight. Well, we've already had this conversation. I mean, look, Idris Elba is great, and he'll obviously make a great Bond because he's a great actor, but he's playing a character, and that character was always a kind of nondescript, sort of shady white guy.
Mm.
As someone who has read in the Fleming's books, who's watched all the movies, it's not about race, it's about a character, it's about a person. I mean, look at all the other characters in life. You know, imagine a black person played me in a movie. Probably wouldn't be normal, right? Be a bit odd.
A white guy played Michael Jackson.
Yeah,
I'm joking, I just wanted to. But really, a white guy did play Michael Jackson. Anyway, that's another different point. Idris is definitely playing this up, whatever game he's at, whether they are drumming up hype for the movie or whether he's just doing it on his personal accord for more attention. But he tweeted this out with a picture of really only his forehead and a bit of hair, and it's filtered to the point where you don't really see what's happening in the background. But then hours later, he tweeted a photo of the rap group Public Enemy, accompanied with one of their lyrics to their songs, which is "Don't Believe the Hype." So it's like, well, what are you exactly saying?
No, he's got a sense of humor. I love it. I'll watch that guy in any kind of movie.
Let's see. Well, those are your 5 things that you need to know this morning.
Yeah. We need to get into some sport because, well, sport.
Because sport.
It's good enough reason for me. I mean, sport's really amazing. Right, okay, so I watched a lot of sport over the weekend. What? I watched golf, because that was all that I needed, because it was that good. Now, everyone made a big deal about the 100th PGA Championship at Bellerive going to be so boring. It's this big old course, it's been raining, so it's soft, and there's no strategy. You can just tee it up and bomb it wherever you want. Yeah, but golf's golf. This is the whole thing about golf, is that no matter what's out there, everyone's going to go through the same process. So if it's a long bombers course, well, good. This, all the long bombers come forward. Whatever it may be, it's so different to the Open Championship at Carnoustie. I mean, that obviously was huge strategy and it was a fantastic tournament. But every golf course is also going to have its own different challenge, all that kind of stuff. First up, the crowds were insane. They were like record crowds and they were just everywhere. Like, it wasn't just okay, like, obviously you follow what's on the TV and every time they go to someone, there's huge crowds. And there might have been some spots here and there where it wasn't. But the people of St. Louis, that general region there, they haven't seen big golf in quite some time. And they all came out. Like, they all came out. And they all had came out with their phones. So every time you saw Tiger in the Rough or Players in a Tee, you would just see this, like, sea of people all holding up smartphones. What are they ever going to do with that footage? Or, I mean, social media must have been huge in that area this last weekend. But, yeah, it was all the star-studded names, the people you expect to do well in a major, were all there, thereabouts. Obviously, there were a couple of guys who didn't quite feature, but you looked at that leaderboard going into the week and you thought, wow, this is crazy. You then goes into Sunday and you think, wow, this is going to be really amazing. When Tiger Woods birdies two of the first three holes and the crowd is now going just, they are, yeah, they're like another level. I think if you were to put a decibel meterage on or just log what was going on this weekend, this might have been the loudest golf tournament, loudest major in quite some time, if ever. You just think thousands of people lining the fairways. Tiger was so hot on Sunday that everyone believed that someone's going to shoot a 64 to even come close to Brooks Koepka, who at that stage just shot 69, 63, 66. The big bomber himself. This guy is just on another level because he literally is on another level. He's about 6'4". He looks like he plays a contact sport, not golf. He's got big muscles, temperament that you could only wish for in the sport. And he just gets it done. So this year he won the US Open. He defended his title from last year. And he's like, he just gets it done. That's what this guy does. He's just so chilled. But Tiger was just killing it. Absolutely killing it. It was Tiger of old, as the people love to say, which is like an evolution of the phrase, Tiger's back, because that's just stupid. Obviously, he's back. And the crowd were literally being treated to some of the best golf that we've seen in quite some time. The rest of the field, well, Adam Scott was there, thereabouts, but no one takes a guy with two putters in his bag seriously. So there were a couple of huffs and puffs from down below, but everyone kind of fell away. It was Tiger and it was Brooks Koepka. And Koepka, he just looked like he was never flustered. It was so incredible to watch this guy play. Tiger was giving his all, and he ended up with 64 in the end. I mean, his weekend scores of 66 and 64. This is a guy who started the tournament off bogey, double bogey. Just give you a show of character. Now, Tiger's obviously, he's over the hill when you think about where he was, but he's done so much hard work to get his body back to where it needs to be. And he's like, he's in his early 40s now. And we all know what Tiger's been through on and off the course. Mentally, he must be frazzled. And I really thought that with the schedule that he's had recently, he was going to run out of puff. But he is sponsored by Monster after all. So maybe he was just mainlining the stuff into his veins. Who knows? But yeah, he got in there with a 64. He birdied the last. He was always in the eyesight of Brooks Koepka. But this guy, he's like the honey badger of golf. He just kept hitting it longer, hitting it straighter. And there it is, 66. 264 total at the end, 16 under. Brooks Koepka wins the PGA Championship, the 100th PGA Championship. Everyone will believe that it was the big tournament because of what Tiger did. And all credit to Tiger. I think when people said he wants to come back and he wants to be a player at the Ryder Cup, everyone's like, yeah, whatevs. But no, he's one of the hottest golfers in the world right now. And it's so great to see. And as they always say, he is the guy who moves the needle. And I think that is a general, sporting term, which is actually as good as any of your...
I might have to use it.
Moving the needle.
Can I?
Yeah, because if like someone does really well, if you get a charismatic CEO, you can say, this guy's got the ability to move the needle.
Brilliant.
See, nailed it. So yeah, Brooks Koepka won it. He has now won three of the last six major championships. He's won three majors now. He's only won one regular tour event on the PGA Tour. But he's a real deal guy. But he's still low-key, which is really, really weird. But he's like the big show in golf. This guy's just incredible. He's my new favorite golfer. Yeah, I've said it. It's amazing to watch him. He does things that make you kind of like just believe that you never know golf. There's always another way of going about it. There's always another way of playing it. And the crowds over the weekend and the interest in social media, this is going to be one of the best majors that I've seen in quite some time. But if you were to take away Tiger, it could have been bloody boring. It really could have been. So that's the PGA Championship done. It'll no longer ever be in August, which many people will be happy about, because August is a terrible month in America because they play in like hot and sticky, sweaty places. It'll now be moved to May. It'll be the second major of the year. So golf's last shot at glory will now become the second shot at glory. It'll be the second of the four majors. And, I'm excited about it. I think the PGA Championship is really cool. Of course, it's the one that's held by the PGA, as in the Professional Golf Association. So it still has people who are club pros who are eligible for this event, and they get into it. One guy made the cut. His name was Ben Hearn, and he actually, yeah, he made the cut, and he ended up finishing. Sorry, Ben Kern. He finished tied 42nd, along with Charles Schwartzel. Dylan Fratelli, from a South African perspective, he finished 31st. He just made the cut, so he had a good weekend. Brandon Grace finished tied 27th. And then Brandon Stone was the SA's top golfer. He finished tied for 12th. He had a great 68 on Sunday, which is great for them. Really, really good. There was lots of cricket over the weekend. The Proteas took an absolute dicking to the Sri Lankans. Oh, God, this was dreadful. Obviously, they'd already won the series. They won it 3-0 straight away. So the last two games were maybe about experimenting. Faf du Plessis, of course, was injured, so Quinton de Kock had to take the reins. But they just looked absolutely thoughtless, shapeless. And again, I ask with philosophical or hypothetical tears in my eyes. Gosh, so reason such a big words. Oh. And I but like, why is there only one spinner? Like, it's Sri Lanka. You've just been absolutely mashed in like a test series. Try a spinner. Try people out. You got Maharaj yesterday. What a performance he had. He bowled 10 overs, 1 for 32. Now, not necessarily one wicket, but if you're going at 3.2 and over, amazing. You can't still think that Dumini is a spinner. He's a guy who'll take a couple of overs here and there. As simple as that. You got Mulder, who's bowling half trackers, are getting smashed. Same with Petla Kwayo. They're getting smashed. Rabada bowled well. And eventually, there was no pressure because only one real spinner. So once Maharaja's 10 overs were done, boom, open season again. Sri Lanka got 299 for 8, and Sri Lanka, with spinners, their bowled South Africa for 121. I'm so tired of seeing these things. These are the new low, the new worst scores. But this is what happens when you have a team that's just basically trying the same crap over and over. Umlo got a duck. And yeah, Quinton de Kock was the only batsman. He got 54. And then he was bowled by Dhananjaya.
He was bowled by whom?
Nothing. That was just a break in your bandwidth.
Okay.
I said it perfectly. Dhananjaya.
Very good.
Yeah. In other cricket news, India, well, they're crap.
That's concise reporting.
Look, when a team is bowled out for 107 and 130 by England, England won by 100... in innings and 159 runs, and all they did was score 396 for 7 declared. India, come on. I mean, I know Virat Kohli is the only batsman they've got, but even he had a bit of a shocker this time around. Absolutely dreadful scenes there if you're an Indian fan. Broad and Anderson combined, they got a whole bunch of wickets, and that is 2-0 up in the 5 test series. We all thought India were going to go and try to be competitive in England, but no. They're absolutely shit house, as the Australians would say. In football, there was lots of that over the weekend. There was the MTN 8 that got underway. Now, the MTN 8 is obviously where you want to be in South African football. If you finish in the top 8 of the league in the previous season, you then play in this. And it's a good chance to obviously play against good teams early season and a good chance to make some money. So on Saturday, Sundowns, they beat Golden Arrows 2-0. Chiefs beat Free State Stars 3-0. Pirates and Sivasspor United, that went into penalties, and Sivasspor United, well, look at that. They finally won something. They beat Pirates. And then Cape Town City yesterday beat Marysburg United 1-0. So those are the teams that will progress in the British Premier League. Well, business as usual for Arsenal. They strode out onto their stadium in front of hopeful yet mostly delusional and ultimately self-deprecating fans who knew they didn't have a hope in hell. And Man City obliged by scoring 2 goals. Arsenal scored 0. So there we go. Arsenal have already had a big loss. But to their credit, I mean, last season, they lost 3-0 at home to Man City. This season, 2-0. That's progress. You've got to look at the silver lining here, Arsenal fans. Although I haven't even attempted to go look at Arsenal Fan TV on YouTube because I know that's just going to be a shit show this morning. Liverpool, big win for them over the weekend. They beat West Ham 4-0. Everton drew with Wolverhampton Wanderers. They're back in it. Top flight, that is, 2-2. Chelsea, they were far too strong for Huddersfield. They won 3-0. Spurs, good win straight off the bat, away to Newcastle. Crystal Palace beat Fulham. And Friday night was Man United. They beat Leicester 2-1. There were other results, obviously, but you don't care about them, do you? Because they're not big things. And that, Anthea, was pretty much all we could think about from the sporting perspective. This weekend, of course, is back at the rugby. It's the Rugby Championships. South Africa will be taking on Argentina, and that'll be taking place in Durban. And, well, this is very exciting because the Boks will feel quietly confident they can do very well in this year's tournament. But what do we say every year, Anthea?
Tell me, Ben.
Just bet your house on New Zealand. You'll get a 25% return on investment because they can't lose. And every year they do.
Got it.
And every year you look at me like, what the hell do you know?
Note taken.
I think that's all it's a sport. Yeah, we covered the golf. There might have been motorsport, but I'm going to go with no. Anyway, Anthea is here. She's on time. She has lots to share with us, so we can only really get to her. That's the wrong song. Had to have one of those eventually, huh? Mm-hmm. If this is the first time I ever listened to the show, that must have sounded quite weird. But Anthea does work hard for her money, and she's right here. Anthea, what is going down in the economics?
Good morning, Ben. I know we've got a lot to talk about, but I'm afraid the shit is hitting the proverbial fan this morning.
Probably skips here. you carry on, Anthea.
Right. So, the rand is blowing out big. In Asian trade, it was down almost 9.5% early on. It's 14.76. Last time this week I was talking to you, it was 13.25. There is trouble in paradise.
Well played, Cyril.
No. Stop. We can't blame Cyril for this. This is all about Turkey. This is the Turkish president, Recep Erdogan, who's just absolutely causing trouble. My phone has not stopped going for the last half an hour, 45 minutes. It's still going. This is ridiculous.
But Anthea, how is it that some Turkish tyrant can be messing up our morning in your phone?
It's all about emerging markets. So Erdogan...
Dick.
I know. Totally. And actually, Ben, I'm going to tell you what he's done. And this let this be a lesson for South African politicians who are listening. Mm-hmm. So first of all, inflation in Turkey has hit 15% because Erdogan has asked, in inverted commas, the central bank to keep interest rates low. So he doesn't want the central bank to put up interest rates. So he's now taking control, basically, or messing with the central bank's independence. In fact, he calls higher interest rates the mother and father of all evil. He has appointed his son-in-law as the finance minister. Familiar?
There's a red flag.
Yeah. And basically, Turkey's foreign policy is making investing in Turkey less appealing. He really is just, and this is what it's all about, you know, it's kind of messing with the independence of the institutions, and really not understanding economics, obviously, because if you need to raise interest rates, no matter how difficult it is for the voter or for the consumer, it has to be done. And of course, through all of this, Erdogan is blaming the rest of the world for waging, in inverted commas again, economic war on Turkey, he says.
This just sounds like it's a template that these guys use. Firstly, minimal understanding of economics, and then play the blame game.
Yep, try and get votes, right? You know, just use populist politics, and then screw things up. And this is very badly. So it really is an emerging market contagion. As I said, the rand at 14.76 or 14.72. I don't know. It's moving so fast this morning, I can't keep up. And the problem for us, of course, as you know, with a weaker rand, is higher inflation. And if this carries on, there's no doubt that the Reserve Bank is going to have to raise interest rates. On Friday, we saw 5 billion rands worth of bonds being sold by foreigners alone. Bonds have just opened up, and I'm looking at my phone. 9.15 bid, 9% offered. So this is from below 9%, which is bad. So you understand that bonds work the other way to shares, which we normally talk about, right? So the higher the interest rate in bonds, the more expensive it is to borrow. I think South Africa Inc. shares, like the banks, the retailers, are all going to come under pressure this morning. If you see, because of the weaker rand, we'll probably see a jump in resource shares. Obviously, they like a weaker rand. Mm-hmm. I would say take profits. Anglo's, Billiton, Sasol, sell if you can. I see the rand is now 16.75 to the euro. This does not bode well for some of us.
Yes, I'm seeing like headlines from less than 24 hours ago saying, oh my gosh, the rand has slipped to 14 and it's now like 14.68.
Exactly. So last week when it hit on Thursday, the rand hit 14. We were going, oh shit. Now it's 14.70.
Anthea, it's brought you to profanity. I mean, this is
exactly
this is the desperation we find ourselves in now.
No, this is terrible. This is the stuff that keeps me awake at night.
Oh Jesus.
Anyway, shall we move on to local shares? We had a couple of companies reporting yesterday. Last week, Absa and Nedbank both reported. Nedbank's profit jumped 26% in the half year, mostly because of a company called, that they own called EcoBank Transnational Incorporated, Nigerian bank, really. which Nedbank owns 16% of. The good thing about both of these banking results is that we're seeing lending coming through. So before, when interest rates were high, the economy wasn't growing, the consumer was under pressure, the banks kind of pulled back and said, actually, you know what, we're not going to lend because we're nervous that you won't be able to afford to pay it back. But now we're seeing the lending coming through again. This situation with the Rand blowing out, I think there'll be a few meetings in the banks this morning going, maybe let's just put our foot on the brake a little bit.
Yeah, these bank meetings are going to go very, very stressfully from here, I think.
Oh, for sure. This morning, banking meetings are going to be not a pleasant place to be. And then MTN reported as well. Their share was down 8% on Wednesday when they reported. So I didn't think the result was that bad, to be honest. But I think the market didn't like it. They're taking a very dim view against the absolute 7% decline in headline earnings per share, the net debt blowing out. And to me, these were things that were kind of expected, actually. Cash flow, free cash flow in MTN came out at 14.4%. And I think the market was just looking for something more. So we love free cash flow, by the way. Mm-hmm. If ever you want to understand whether or not to buy a company, understand free cash flow. The more free cash flow a company has, the better it's doing. And one of the problems with MTN's free cash flow, excuse me, or cash flow in general, is that firstly, they pay very good dividends, and the dividend is paid 1/3 in the first half of the financial year and 2/3 in the second half of the financial year. And last year's good dividend was obviously the 2/3 came through in this first half financial year. And so, of course, you'll see money flowing out. Also, their CapEx spend has been quite heavy, which they will now negate, or they'll slow down a little bit. And then also, I expect probably to see some cash flowing in from the sale of their Cyprus business for about 4 billion rand. And then probably also from the listing of MTN Ghana, which is scheduled for, I think it's September, October of this year. And MTN Nigeria should also be, well, we're hoping that they'll list, and that should also see a nice cash inflow. I mean, MTN went, the other cash flow problem with MTN, of course, is that they've still got money sitting in Iran, which they can't expatriate.
Of course, I remember that.
Yeah. And now that Donald Trump is fighting with Iran, Iran have just shut down their borders again and going, well, in that case, you're not taking money out of our country. It happens. And then the last thing, MTN went to great pains to say that of their 230 million subscribers, only 71 million are using data. So this is where their runway is. You think data. So, and Rob Shooter, the CEO of MTN, made a very good point in that he said that a lot of analysts...
Sorry, Anthony, is that all their people, as in the continent?
Yes.
Okay.
He said that Rob Shooter was saying that a lot of analysts had written off MTN because nobody's using voice anymore and there was nowhere to go and it's kind of a sunset industry and it's dead. But he's saying, well, actually, we've got miles of runway still on the data subscribers. And then Glencore reported as well, decent set of results. Revenue grew by 8%, after-tax profit up 15%. But if you remember correctly, a couple of weeks ago, we were speaking about Glencore. This is the company that is being subpoenaed by the Department of Justice in the US.
Yeah.
Oh.
Yeah, I remember that. That's a problem.
Just a tiny Glencore, bit problem. Just a tiny little one.
Yeah. Glencore, tiny, what, $10 billion problem. Glencore did say immediately afterwards that they're doing a share buyback, so that kind of helped. But yeah, they've done okay. You know, their net debt is down to $9 billion, which is better than we expected. They had strong earnings growth. Industrials and mining businesses performed very strongly. So yeah, like everything good, but if you've got this Department of Justice investigation hanging over your head, it's just people don't want to be there. And also the other resource companies that you could buy. So Glencore's really cheap at the moment, but the other resource companies, maybe not as cheap that you could buy and without kind of the risk of investigations.
Yeah, exactly.
And then lastly, in our country, that I want to talk about anyway, African Rainbow Capital, Patrice Motsepe, announced last week that they are buying the balance of 90% of a company called Time Digital from Commonwealth Bank of Australia. Now, you may not have heard of Time Digital before. It's an online bank which have been going for oh, wow, a friend of mine works for them. And he's been talking about it for years. I'm still waiting for the launch, let's just say. So they're building this great digital bank. And they've spent millions, almost billions.
The bank of the future, Anthea.
Yes, and that's what Patrice decided.
So is it a good sign that Patrice is investing in it? Should we expect something big to come out of Time Digital Bank soon? Or you're still hesitant?
Yeah, I'm a little bit hesitant.
Okay.
I think they sell a good story. They certainly do. It is a great story. But, you know, we've also got Discovery Bank coming online. We've got a couple of other banking licenses in the pipeline. So
yeah, as they say in the finance game, you can only enjoy the view once the anchors hit the bottom.
Do they say that?
Do we say that?
I'm also just questioning.
Okay. You're asking, Anthea, there have been any questions here.
Sure.
Okay. I'll retort with a finance riddle.
Anthea, how much did he buy?
The entire bank now he owns. He used to own, I think, about 10%. He now owns the entire bank.
So he tested the waters. Whoa. And now he's dived in.
Okay. He's definitely not hesitating around that. But okay, let's keep an eye on that.
So many other things. He's bought into Rain as well, that mobile operator that Michael Jordan started. Oh, there's lots.
Him and Michael Jordan are visionary people, and they both believe that the banks of the future will be digital, online.
Let's hope so. And then we have to talk about another very wealthy South African.
Anthea, how many final things you got here?
One last, absolute final. Please, Ben, can I have this one?
You're like Toto when they get a gig. They'll just keep playing.
I might burst into song any minute.
What is going on with this guy? Because I just don't know anymore. Elon Musk.
Yes, he's become our enfant terrible, hasn't he? So he tweeted on Tuesday saying that he was going to take Tesla private. So you know Tesla's listed. The share was trading at about $360. He said he was going to take it at private at $420. In other words, he was going to pay you $420 for a share that was trading at $360. We all know that is just stupid. If you're going to buy back your shares, you want to buy them back for as cheaply as possible.
Competitive value.
Exactly.
Yes.
Anyway, so the share rallied. I think it was up about 11% when he tweeted. Then the share stopped trading, because the other problem with this is that if you are a CEO or an insider in any company and you're tweeting about prices of shares and the fact that you've already raised or secured capital to take your company private, then basically this is insider trading, right?
A little bit, yeah.
Yeah, a lot, Ben. Anyway, so there you go. I mean, at that level, he said that he was getting money from a Saudi Arabian sovereign wealth fund, and they'd already built a $2 billion stake in the company. At that price, at $420 a share, he was valuing his own company at $71 billion. Remember last week we spoke about this company and how we said they'd lost all that money? Mm-hmm. Yeah, they were making big $500 million losses per quarter or something. Anyway. What's come out of it, subsequently, the share has fallen back, the share got suspended trading, and the Saudis seem to have disappeared, I believe.
Oh.
So we don't know exactly what's happening. How Elon Musk gets away with this, I don't know, because that's definitely insider trading, and all he's doing is pushing his share higher, right? I mean, obviously. If you're saying you're going to buy the share at 420 and it's trading at 360, yeah, you're basically saying, well, buy it up to 420 because I'll buy it back from you and you'll make a profit.
Yeah, I'd love to know his team. I'd like to know who he exactly sits with and thinks about this and says, yeah, this is a great idea. Let me put it out into the world.
I think he's being a bit Trumpish. Eh? He's not actually like engaging with his team, because if he had asked his compliance officer would have said, give me your phone.
Oh, that's a term I wish we didn't have. People being Trumpish.
Anyway, the absolute outcome of this is that over the weekend or Friday, whenever, Elon Musk tweeted to Einhorn, which is a hedge fund manager and is well known for shorting the share. Remember, I said if you think the share is going to go up, you buy it. If you think the share is going to go down, you short it, you sell it.
Yeah.
Einhorn is a short seller. And Trump sent him apparently a box of short shorts. Because obviously when the share rallied, Einhorn would have lost a lot of money. So my comeback to this is, I think this was just a joke between very wealthy individuals.
Behaving very Trumpish. Mm. That's it.
kind of, it's about right, eh?
Yeah.
Children behaving badly.
Dick swinging contest, Anthea. That's what those
are. That's right.
All right. Well, thanks very much, Anthea.
Thank you.
That is the Kickstart Your Week of the Finance for more of Anthea and her other segments, because, you know, she keeps you up to the... sorry, Anthea, I need to get a photo with you and Sia. Are you in a rush?
Yeah. Other than the RAN blowing out, I've got nothing on my plate. Sorry,
Anthea's phone is on fire at the moment.
I'm dealing with these BSDs in the world.
But yeah, you can find Anthea on cliffcentral.com's website. Of course, she does all the finance feature. Sia, what is going on? We got to be quick, because Nola's having heart palpitations that the podcast's not going to go out. And, oh my gosh, this is just too much.
Well, let's be quick with a good dose of inspiration this morning quite quickly. If you are battling with waking up and you're trying to just put one foot in front of the other on this Monday morning, well, take a listen to this story. It is a 92-year-old doctor who is in New York City and still practices. Her name is Dr. Melissa Freeman. She's been a doctor for more than 60 years, and she still, to this day, splits her time between her private practice, which she has run for nearly 40 years, and a New York City clinic, which treats people who are addicted to opioid drugs like heroin. So if you think you cannot do anything this morning, how about you listen to Dr. Melissa Freeman, 92 years old, still practices, still gets around town using the subway. Let's take a page out of her book this morning.
Right off the bat, I'm going to tell you she looks every day of 92.
My name is Dr. Melissa M. Freeman. I have been in the practice of internal medicine for more than 60 years.
Could I have her chart, please?
And I am 92 years of age.
Now, there is a vicious rumor going around about you that you're 92 years old. Can you confirm or deny that you are 92 years old and running us all ragged?
I am proud to say that I have lived for 92 years and I'm still moving.
Not only is she moving, she's thriving and still practicing medicine. Dr. Freeman owns and operates this private practice in Harlem.
How are you?
Hello.
A business she's run for more than 37 years.
What's a typical day for you, Doctor?
Well, I start in the morning working in my drug clinic, and I complete that, and then I take transportation and come here to my office.
Now, she doesn't shy away from public transportation. She embraces it, traveling on the New York City subway at least twice a week.
I'm a New Yorker, traveled by subway, and if I have to get somewhere and the subway is the best way to get there, I will board the subway and take it.
But I hear, like, you keep up with everybody. You're tackling the steps.
Well, that's the only way you can get to the subway, the steps.
Dr. Freeman's grandfather, Albert B. Walker, was born a slave in Virginia. Once the Emancipation Proclamation was signed, Walker moved to New York City to start his family in the late 1800s.
What he must think that his granddaughter became a doctor.
He was an amazing little man. He was a quiet man. He had four grandchildren, and we all grew up in his house.
And education was very important to your family.
Well, my dad, who came from rural Alabama and did not have the opportunity to get the education that he wanted to get, but he emphasized the importance of getting a high school and a college education.
Dr. Freeman splits her time at a private practice and a clinic treating people who are addicted to opioid drugs like heroin and oxycodone.
I gotta say, like I said, she looks every day of 92. Obviously, when she walks, because her body's there, but you can see when someone's still old and still so with it is their eyes.
Yeah.
Her eyes are like, I'm on this. I've got this.
She doesn't look 92 to me. I don't know.
But when she walks, she does. She looks she's been through three world wars. But she, when she sits and she's in her practice, like, she's on it, huh?
But I mean, if not, why not? If someone is 92 years old and still with it and can still walk around and she still enjoys working, why not? She's still running her practice. But talk about an inspiration. For 92 sure. years old and still making things happen. I think that's a good Monday boost for your Said by Sia today.
All right, very nice. Podcast is going to be up. Nola's life is more difficult to run over, but it's been an action-packed first hour and 10 minutes, yeah? Good job. Good Monday.
The Gareth Cliff Show. Let's pat ourselves on the back.
And when we come back, we're going to have some more stories. I've got a whole thing about men and visuals and why it's such a big deal that men are so visually attuned to things and how we're different to women in that respect. And of course, we'll go through your messages and we'll go through other big stories we may have missed in the first hour. So yeah, join us then.
This is CliffCentral.com.